The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. Final hour has arrived, and we thought we would kind of kick back for a few minutes and talk about something uplifting. A little off the beaten path, but we have because this program, the theme song was written and performed by an American Idol star. We're a little partial to American Idol, and it's been about 9 years since Scotty McCreery won American Idol. I think he was about 10 years old at the time, but he has been a just unbelievable success story in Nashville, and a new record about to come out. And Scotty, thanks for making time, and I was joking yesterday. We're gonna fire Taylor Hicks for the theme song and let you write a new one. Good afternoon.
Taylor Hicks is the man. What's going on, Paul?
We're delighted to have you. And it just seems like I know you can never escape the night you win American Idol, no matter how hard you try. But you were such a young guy, and I just wonder. You were a teenager, were you not? What was that like, and how did you deal with it?
Yeah, I was 17 years old and really had no clue what I was doing. Was just singing songs and having fun, and got to hang out with Jennifer Lopez for a little bit. That wasn't too bad, but that was definitely a night I'll never forget. That was pretty cool.
And the audience for that is as close to a Super Bowl as anything in the world, and the pressure is intense. But you delivered with a number of hits, and I know as we talk about it. You have so many personal songs, but and many are favorites. But the first time I heard Five More Minutes, it was just it was incredible because of the touching nature of it about your granddad. And I know that's a theme that you often take when you write songs.
Yeah, I think everybody's got their thing, And for me, it's just kind of writing about what I know and what I live. And that song for Granddaddy was special for me the day we wrote it, and it's always cool when it gets out in the public world and other people relate to it and like it as well. But I just enjoy writing about what I live and what I love. I can't pull stuff out of thin air and write it. I gotta know it. So appreciate you liking the song.
Every entertainer has dealt with COVID differently. We're all in this together, in the sense that nothing is the same as it was. But what's it been like for you as an artist with maybe a little more time and a lot more challenges to work on material and obviously to get a record out?
Yeah, it's been a weird year to say the least. We're used to being on the road 24/7 basically and touring, and we were going out with Chris Young this year, and it was just going to be a heck of a summer, a heck of a year, and then obviously COVID happened. But we've been making the most of it. We're still doing a lot of shows via Zoom and Instagram Lives, Facebook Lives. We've done like over 100 of those, which I'm like the world's worst social media guy ever. I just never think to get on it, but been making good use of that. Honestly, nowadays with technology, you don't need to be in a studio with 20 people to make music. Everybody can kind of work from home. I've got a home studio, and so we're full steam ahead. We should have a full album next year, and got the new single out right now, so we're excited.
Yeah, I know the new single, "You Time," is interesting in terms of the concept, but I want to talk about the writing of it, because you're involved. Some artists get the song and they perform it, but you seem like you're a little different. You like to be part of the process, don't you?
Yeah, I'm invested in, every facet of what we're doing. And writing songs is something I've kind of grown into and grown to love. And when I first got to Nashville, I didn't write a single song on my first record, and two on the next record, and all of them the last record. So I just enjoy doing it, enjoy singing about life. And U-Time was no different. My wife's a pediatric nurse, and with me on the road, we were just last year, we're not getting a lot of time to spend together. She'd be leaving for work, and I'd be getting in from the airport, and we'd kiss and say hello and goodbye at the same time. So this year's a little different. It's kind of been like one of those "be careful what you ask for" kind of songs. We've seen a lot of each other, but it's been good.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine. And I've talked to a number of artists over these last 7 months, and yeah, there are no days off, and suddenly the world changes. Does it help from a creative standpoint to have more time, or sometimes does time eventually wear you out?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. You get a lot of good material when you're going around doing the country circuit on the road and those country fairs and festivals. You see some pretty interesting sights, so it makes for some good material. But being at home, I mean, it has given me time to just sit down with the guitar, and I have picked up the guitar more in the last 7 months or so than I have in probably the last 7 years. It's just been like an everyday thing where I'm picking up guitar and learning songs again, like when I was 12 years old. So it's that's been a positive for sure.
Like so many entertainers, Scotty, you come from places that help you understand real people, you know, coming from North Carolina versus Manhattan. I'm curious, growing up, I know you were a big NC State fan. Do you still follow them?
I do, man. QBU. So it's, I love the Pack. Sometimes it feels like a curse because we get so close and we never quite get the job done. But still have my Wolfpack, and I'm married into an LSU family, so it's been a bunch of years following the Tigers as well.
I don't know if you could answer this question honestly about trying to watch a football game, especially last season with an LSU fan. I've gotten to know quite a few of them in my time.
It was pretty fun, man. I got to say, it wasn't NC State's best year, so it was fun to have a winning team to root for. But me and my wife, we dated, you know, starting in 2012. So I remember the good times from last year, but I also remember the first game I ever watched with them was the LSU-Alabama National Championship. And they had purple and gold streamers on the ceiling fan, and they were so hyped. They're like, as soon as LSU scores a touchdown, we're going to turn the fan on and go nuts. And then LSU never scored a touchdown, and it was a very awkward night. So it's been good and bad, but obviously last year was incredible.
Well, I hate to give advice to someone as successful as you, who's got number one records, you know, all over the place, and you know, you're an international star. But I would take advantage of this moment in time because NC State is ranked higher than LSU, and that may never happen again.
Yeah, it's nice looking at the rankings right now. It's a little different than normal. Of course, though, they have the thing, every NC State fan knows it. I can't say it on the radio, but it's NC State, fill in the blank. And as soon as we get ranked 23, our quarterback breaks his leg, and we play UNC, our arch rival, next week. So it's that's NC State, fill in the blank for you.
Scotty, I get it. Before you go, I'm curious because when you win American Idol, you're seen by 50, 60 million people. You go on a world tour. I mean, the world is suddenly your oyster. I know that, and then you go to Nashville and do everything that you've done. As you reflect back on this, I know there had to be some moments that you've met people, you've been places, and there are probably too many to remember, but what was that first moment that you literally could not believe what was happening to you?
And there's been a bunch as far as artists that mean the world to me. My first tour was with Brad Paisley, and I mean, just getting to hang out with him and have dinners with him backstage before a show. I was still 17, I think, when we first started that tour, and I was just freaking out and getting to open up for Garth Brooks, meeting George Strait, stuff like that. I'm still just a massive fan, so that stuff still amazes me. But then, like other things, like getting to sing the national anthem at the World Series and perform for the Patriots before the Super Bowl. I mean, those kind of things as a sports fan. It's all been pretty nutty. It's still crazy to me here about a decade later. I'm still pinching myself, but I'm just taking it in and enjoying the moment, you know.
And before you go, the record, I know you said you're working on it. What type of timetable do you have?
Yeah, well, the new single, You Time, it's out right now, so hope everybody likes that. And we're kind of going to let that thing live its life, and hopefully the full album will be done. We're going back in December to finish it up. So next year sometime, maybe summer, fall, we'll be looking at getting that thing out there.
I'm curious. I mean, you've had a number of three back-to-back number ones. When a record comes out, or single, I guess, before the record. I mean, how nervy is that? Just keeping track and seeing how it's doing.
It's nerve-wracking, man. I mean, it's like your kid. You know, you love it, and you've been living with it. I mean, we wrote U Time 2 years ago, or I guess a year and a half ago, and when we wrote Five More Minutes, we'd written it like 3.5 years before it came out. So you believe in a song and you love a song, and it can be your favorite song ever, and you put it out there and it doesn't work, you know. So it's nerve-wracking, but it's fun at the same time. So I enjoy the process of it, and just get out there and have a good time with it and hope folks like it.
Scotty McCreery, thanks for making time. We really appreciate it. All the best. You got so many fans in this country and around the world. We appreciate you dropping in.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Paul.
Thank you very much. Scotty McCreery, NC State fan, married to an LSU Tiger. So that's an unusual combination. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls as we begin to head for the hills on a Thursday afternoon.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
HB is up next in Tuscaloosa. We welcome all of you back to the program. Good afternoon, HB.
Good afternoon, Paul. I'm glad to talk to you again.
Thank you.
If you remember the last time I talked to you, we traveled down the same dusty roads in radio, TV, and newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
As far as even going to try to beat in the press box at Legion Field, trying to beat Doug Layton to the buffet table.
That was pretty hard to do.
It was hard to do. I never did do it. But anyway, as you took your turn going towards ESPN, I was taking my turn towards Jefferson Pilot or University of Alabama. And Mama called, so I came to Alabama. I was a little ahead of you, though. That was 13 years. I think you were behind me a little bit.
A little bit.
When you went to ESPN was a little bit later, 7 years.
Yeah, I've only been there. This is my seventh year. Yeah.
Okay, and so I was fortunate enough to be around all these coaches. I worked for the conference center there and be around a lot of famous people, from Billy Graham to a lot of people. But I worked with Coach on the weekends, and these coaches are really good people. But there's some surprises. You'll be surprised to hear who I think will be the one that would have a chance to beat Coach Saban, but we won't get a chance to play him probably very much, and that would be Mario Cristobal. I think he's one of the finest coaches that there is. And I don't want Georgia people to give up on Kirby because he was a nice, good guy, and he was one of the ones who would come over and work himself to death while everybody else ate. He was still working. And if he just needs to get somebody to handle offense for him.
You know, HB, we had Mario on about 2 weeks ago, and I agree with you. I think he's one of my favorite guests. I think he's done a really good job at Oregon. And I've heard, I've heard from other people that have worked at Alabama or work at Alabama now that they loved him there, and I could not agree more with you. I think, you know, whenever that day comes that Nick Saban leaves, I think he would certainly be a candidate.
He sure would be. He would be one of mine that I would vote for. And one of my favorite coaches was actually Lane Kiffin. Coach Saban, actually, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway, but since I'm fixing to retire, he put Scotty Cochran in charge of watching him and taking care of making sure he didn't get in trouble.
You know, that's so funny because I'll never forget. I think it was one of the. What year was it? 2011 season. A bunch of us had gone out to dinner in New Orleans, and we stopped off at Harrah's on the way back, and I ran into Jeremy Pruitt there, and I said, "What in the world are you doing here?" He said, "My job is to make sure everybody gets out of here by midnight and get across the street to the hotel." And I thought, you know, there's a coach who is in charge of the players, and then you tell me something I've never heard before, that Saban assigned one of his top assistants to look after one of his top coaches. That's pretty funny. And not surprising.
There was plenty of stories I could tell you, but we don't have that many hours to tell you. But Lane was one of the ones that got the butt chewings that I actually saw in person. So I saw one of them actually live and in person in front of me, and I don't want to see it again.
Well, HB, I did not hear this directly from Coach Saban, but he told a friend of mine once about Lane. If I repeated it, I would immediately be fired. You can relate to where I'm going here.
I sure can. I certainly can. I can tell you this. Listen, I'll let you go because I know you got some other callers right behind me. But the funniest thing I think I ever saw was the first day he was actually over there. We had some recruits in there at a luncheon, and here he came in with his Hawaiian shirt on and his sunglasses from, you know, Surfer Boy stuff. And I don't think he was in there any more than 2 minutes. Then Coach Saban had him immediately turned around and went back across the street, came back, and 5 minutes later, here he came on with an Alabama shirt on.
That is a great story. Hey, you be well, and congratulations on your retirement, HB. Thank you very much. Call again. Jimmy is in Chicago. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Paul. I've got a little bit of a different angle on this. Chad Morris is an offensive coordinator. Just 10 short years ago, a lot of Clemson fans will remember this. 2010, they were coming off a 6-7 season, capped off by an embarrassing showing against West Virginia, in which they gave up 70 points. And Dabo made the two most probably important hires of his coaching career. One of those was to bring in Brett Venables as his defensive coordinator. The other was to bring in Chad Morris. And what Chad Morris did was he developed Taj Boyd and Deshaun Watson, which was just critical in the development of their program. That 2010 team went 6-7. And after Morris got there in his four seasons there, they went 42-11. And they were quickly on their way to national prominence. Now, the current situation, I think, at Auburn, I mean, and I know a lot of Auburn fans, and they've seen it as well as anybody else. Just the sideline language when Nicks comes off the field, it's like he's not interested in talking to Gus. He's not interested in talking to Morris. He's not really interested in talking to anybody. And the optics are horrible. After one of the interceptions last week, he was barking at Seth Williams, who was the big factor in winning that Kentucky game. And I just don't know how easy he may be to coach, because he's been coached by his dad his entire career, and I don't know if that's who he's listening to, but it just doesn't seem like he's responding at all to to what Malzahn and Morse are trying to do with him. I mean, is that off base? I mean,
no, it's not, Jimmy. I know you understand that position, and I've seen some of that. But you bring up a really interesting point about coaches' sons, and I'm not suggesting Patrick Nix is interfering, but you're so used to a certain thing. And you know, Malzahn does things very differently down there, as you well know.
Yeah, and the chemistry between, within a team is really really, in many ways, tied to the quarterback being able to constantly be a positive force on the sideline when his team, some of his teammates might be struggling, and just always encouraging those guys. And just to be truthful, I just don't see it. And if you've got bad chemistry within a program that's trying to win at this level, it just makes it harder. And this is a huge game for them this week. Everybody's talked about it, and you know, that's why you go out there to practice every day. You try to get better, and you know, you never know, things might just click all of a sudden. And this could be a really good opportunity for Auburn, because it appears that Ole Miss has some virus issues among a number of players, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But, you know, until I heard about that, I thought this could be a really difficult game because, you know, the Ole Miss offense, they definitely had a hiccup last week. But at home, you know, they've been pretty tough to stop. So it's going to be a really interesting matchup for sure.
Hey, it's always good to hear from you, Jimmy. Thank you, and be well. Appreciate the call. Been a busy one tonight. Man, we hope you were able to hear the Greg Byrne interview earlier. Really some extraordinary comments about his struggle over the last 10 days with COVID. He's, of course, the athletic director at Auburn. Don't forget, tomorrow we will be all over the place previewing a fairly sparse schedule of SEC games because of some COVID issues. But we will go to every site and get you ready for the weekend. When we come back, more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Final 30 minutes of the program. We're watching down in Baton Rouge, Coach O about to speak. Maybe we'll get a little more insight on his quarterback situation as they get ready to host South Carolina. Before we do that, let's continue with more phone calls. And D.C. is up next. Go right ahead, D.C.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Been watching you for some time. My father was the director of the Park and Recreation Board in Birmingham for 25 years. His name was Frank Wagner. I don't know if you knew him.
Of course I do, Frank. I can see him right now. you know, wearing that, he was always dressed up and you know, he was the guy. I mean, he was especially important to people like us because, you know, Frank was in charge of handing out the parking passes to the media. So you all, when you saw Frank, you were always especially kind. And yeah, I would, you know, you would always call your dad on Monday to not for Alabama games, but for when the professional leagues, to try to find out how many people were actually, because they would always announce like 60,000 people and there were 20,000. So he would let us know how many were really there. So yeah, I can't tell you how many great memories I have.
Well, you know, athletics and football and the SEC was his life, and had a very close relationship with Coach Bryant. I just thought I would tell you, oh my gosh, I have so many stories, but everybody and his brother would call while games were going on, or before games. You know, we had to take our phone off the hook at home when I was growing up. And but Coach Bryant would always call after the games and thank my father.
Really?
For the locker rooms were so nice, and you didn't have to do all that, and these boys didn't have to have that. And one really funny story is my dad would go and check out the field, you know, before the game, and at one particular game, Coach Bryant came out, and of course, every time he walked out on the field, people went crazy, and he turned to my dad and said, "Boy, they really love you here."
Oh, that's amazing. No, I never knew what was his background before he became the park and rec director.
Oh my gosh, as a side story, he and Coach Bryant had so much in common. They grew up so poor, and it was athletics, and then World War II. They both served in the Navy and came back and got their degrees through the GI Bill. My father might have known Coach Bryant at Vanderbilt. My father went to graduate school at Vanderbilt. And then, of course, everything reconnected. But he was a high school football coach, was also a scholarship athlete at Birmingham Southern College in tennis.
Right.
Tennis was huge to him. And as also was at Vanderbilt. So, but he coached at Jones Valley High School and at Talladega High School, and then came to Birmingham. And I think it was through either Bill Birch or Bill Battle, mm-hmm. one of the connections he had that told him he ought to apply. And at that time, it was just like an associate superintendent of parks and recreation.
Well, you think about Birmingham during that time, and I'm sure there were some difficult moments, but I remember him vividly from the first day I arrived in Birmingham and at the beginning of the 80s. Fantastic memories. I mean, he was just such a nice man, especially to people like me. And by the way, back in the day, nobody was nice to me. my reputation was people can say whatever they want about me now, but back in the 80s, if a public official saw me coming, they would run.
No, he was incredibly charming, and always wanted to represent Birmingham in the best possible way.
I mean, he absolutely did. And I think about it this weekend, DC, because the first time I ever went to Legion Field was a student at the University of Tennessee, and for the Alabama game, and there was nothing bigger, and people just don't appreciate. Uh-uh. That Legion Field literally was the epicenter of SEC football in the 60s and 70s and even into the 80s. It had a lot to do with Coach Bryant, to say the least. I can't thank you enough. I know your dad passed away a couple of years ago.
In 15, he did. He was 94.
Wow. I vaguely remember. Well, I have such great memories, and you've made my day bringing them up.
Wonderful.
All the best to you, and thank you so much.
You too.
You bet.
You're welcome.
We are. That's really cool. We're gonna head to a break. I just want to. I've had a couple of people say I inadvertently said that Greg Byrne was at Auburn. Of course, we all know he's not. Greg joined us earlier. He's been at Alabama for a couple of years as the athletic director. Appreciate that. We are going to take a break. More to come in the final few minutes of this program. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.